Let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm looking for approval of the agenda.
Are Move to any approve.
Okay. All in favor of approving the agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Okay. Great. We're at public matters not on the agenda. Discussion only items that are not currently on the agenda. And there is a limit of 5 minutes. Anybody?
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Mayberry, and I work in the county here. And I'm here as a owner of an electric vehicle I recently purchased. And I just wanted to just mention how the electric vehicle charging stations that are available in different parts of the county were in no small part a reason why I felt comfortable doing so, because owning an electric car is kind of like having the, you need gas soon light on your car on all the time. Because you're always worried that you're going to not make it to where you're going. So having the charging stations in different parts of the county is really important to that. And so, I noticed it on the agenda, so if there's, considered expansion in that, I think that that's a great idea. And Airport Road might be a great location to put one of those if you thought about doing so.
Especially because you work up there.
That is a fact.
And let me just clarify for the record that this is our agricultural commissioner for the county.
Thank you.
All right. So,
thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We will go to administrative matters, minutes, review and approval of January 17th board minutes.
I had a question on the minutes.
Okay.
Under page 205, under administrative matters, it has minutes review and approval of January 17, 2017 board minutes. I thought that's what we were doing today. Those minutes show that we approved the January 17th minutes I think there's a typo in there.
Should be the prior minutes.
205.
Yeah.
Under administrative matters, bullet point number one.
Whoops. Should have warned you. We've been having trouble with that all morning.
Can you maybe, is it all the way plugged in?
What's that?
Push it down.
Push it down.
Nope.
How about that?
Don't touch it.
The sound is okay. Just don't touch it. That's our recommendation.
Let's see. So we are approving the January minutes, and that does look like a typo, so it would be replaced with the prior meeting's minutes, I believe is what we approved at that. And we can make that change to plug in the, I forget when we met, if it was October. Anyways. We'll get the correct date put in there.
Okay,
there more?
I just had a curious question. And it's technicality, but I don't know what's on. Who should actually be chair? Should it be Robin Peters or Lynn Morgan in the minutes?
I think it should show Robin as the chair.
That's what I was thinking.
On the minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. On the minutes. I see what you're saying.
Right.
So on the...
You should probably kick me off there, too, as vice chair. I don't know who'd be vice chair back then, too.
Okay. Yeah, because at the time of the January meeting, the chair was handed over from Robin to Supervisor Morgan.
Yes.
Correct.
So,
Well, under the Pledge of Allegiance, you have Chairman Peters led the board and staff in the Pledge of Allegiance. So
that's right.
So he was still chairman when the
still chair. Okay. So we'll change that chair to Robin Peters, and the vice chair would then be Supervisor Morgan. We'll make
right.
that change,
okay.
too.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'm glad you point that out. I like having the details.
Any other changes to the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes with corrections.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Draft budget for 17-18. McCargue.
Yes, good afternoon. Jim McCargue, Air Pollution Control Officer. You have a memo as well as a revenue and an expense sheet for the draft budget. I think what I'd like to do is... I have a summary page coming around, and there's also some copies for folks in the audience. but in general terms, the budget is presented similar to the presentation last year. Again, our approach to the budget is to balance our budget, where our projected revenues match with our projected expenditures. We do have a reserve that as of July 1st, 2016, the beginning of this current fiscal year, was $518,000. We've been developing and implementing new programs and projects to gradually reduce both the carry forward on an annual basis that then adds to that cash reserve amount. Based upon projections for the rest of this current fiscal year, 2016-2017, based upon what our expenditures will be and our revenue will be, it's looking as though we're going to have just $11,500 in carryover that would then be added to that $518,000 in reserves. So what we've done there is we've dramatically reduced that large carryover that had occurred in the past.
Each year.
Yeah.
By $18,000
this year. What's
that? By $18,000 this year.
Well, no, actually last year we carried forward $60,000.
Okay.
This year we're looking at carrying forward only $11,500, so there's a difference. But again, the main thing is it's $518,000 in reserves right now. So the draw from cash reserves is listed as $85,000, and if you'll notice, and that's on the revenue line, and the special project line, which is going to fund our wood stove and our city county agency diesel programs, is also $85,000. Therefore, what I've done is I've matched the draw from reserves to match our special projects. And so in essence, if we didn't do special projects, we wouldn't need to draw from reserves. However, this board of directors has set a priority of drawing down that cash reserve, and that's what you see in this budget. So the long-term outlook for the budget is positive, and the excess cash reserves will continue to be gradually expended to a point where then a prudent reserve can be maintained. The recommendation is to provide any direction to staff and then recommend that this budget be brought back to the next meeting, which will be June. I'm not sure the date, but it's the third Tuesday in June, and that would be the public hearing for the budget. So if there's any specific questions on the revenue or the expenses, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Seems like we're almost doing this backwards, because we're going to look at and some areas for consideration. One, the smoke reduction bin program. And you're asking, you provided three options there. So we could actually choose an option that's less than what is showing up in the budget.
It could be less, and then what I would bring back to the next meeting for the final budget approval is any changes that you were to make today. So I see your point on kind of approaching it backwards, but I did want to get the budget first on the agenda. Maybe in the future I'll look at doing it further back in the agenda.
Even on a draft budget, I would kind of like to have the numbers figured out before we go into a draft budget, because other things could change down the road, but the known items we're going to decide after we approve the draft budget.
That's true. So we'll definitely take that into consideration in the future. Yes.
One thing I'd like to look at is, I brought it up before and didn't get a lot of traction, but I'd like to bring it up again. I'd still like to see us reduce our burn permit fees. Not a huge deal, but I mean, it seems like we're getting hit with more and more and more fees. It'd be kind of nice to have something going down somewhere.
To reduce the burn permit fee?
Yeah.
Our annual burn permit fee is currently $30, and you can see the projected amount for this next fiscal year is now $19,500.
That's a 2-year permit too, isn't it?
2-year permit is $60.
Okay, all right.
So if there were to be interest in reducing the burn permit fees by this board of directors, I would probably recommend that we bring it back as an agenda item at the next meeting in June for discussion and for direction at that point, if there's a consensus to move.
I'd like to.
Is there interest by the rest of the board in looking at the burn permit fee?
Jim, aren't small piles exempt from a fee?
Yeah, our permit is for large piles, which are 4x4
right.
And larger. So small piles, they do not need a permit from the air district. Now, they will require a permit from another agency, but not from us.
How long has the burn permit fee been at $30?
More than 6 years.
Yeah, I think that we're not asking for an increase is appropriate, but I also think $30 doesn't break the bank on people, and it helps fund Air District activities at a minimal level.
Are there a lot of 2-year permits?
Number of 2-year permits, Herminia?
Half and half.
So it's a substantial amount. I was thinking maybe $50 if you buy a 2-year permit.
You know, that question comes up quite a bit. Is we offer a 2-year permit, yet there's no break to get a 2-year permit. It's
That's
just
a good
double.
Idea, almost like buying dinner tickets. You get two tickets for $50 instead of $60. So
I think that sounds good.
Well. Then I'm hearing interest in considering at least reducing the 2-year fee. So why don't you bring that back to the next meeting?
We'll bring it back as an agenda item.
That would be great.
I had a couple questions that you might want to address when you bring it back. First off, what is the expense associated with the burn permit? We have the revenue, but we don't have direct expense associated with it.
Yeah, and we can bring back those direct expenses, but the biggest expense, an expense is our pine needle bin program, which we use to reduce burning. So that is one expense that we consider part of the burn program. The other expense is responding to complaints and to going out and conducting investigations on burning on non-burn days, burning unauthorized material, non-permitted burning. So there's staff time that's involved in responding to burn complaints. And that can be, I think we can at least get an estimation of those costs.
That was a good question, and I think that would be great if you could bring back some details on that.
Yeah.
The other question I had was, you say there's another agency that also charges a fee. If we have a burn permit on a large pile, is there do they have to have a second permit from CAL FIRE?
Yeah, CAL FIRE does require a permit at certain times during the season. And do you remember, Matt, what that time is? November?
May to November.
CAL FIRE does require a permit. Now, I don't think there's a cost associated with their permit.
Okay.
But in some cases, some of the cities do require burn permits within the local city jurisdiction. I don't think the cost is much, but there are other permits.
Not to distract you, but we saw our IT guy there, and so I think we wanted him to look at the microphone.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Touch your mic so maybe they can hear it. Yeah, hit it harder because they're right on there.
Jeff!
Wake up!
We're having trouble with the mic. We've had it all day. It's like...
What'd you say? I can't hear you.
Screaming and blowing us out of the room.
When anybody touches it, it's pretty loud.
Here...
Use us for just a moment to see if we can remedy this.
Sure. No, that's no problem.
Oh, did we get an answer on CAL FIRE? Is it pretty much all year?
Not all year. It's certain times, May to November, that they do require, you know, their permit. So it's only part of the year.
And do we know what their fees are?
My understanding is there's no fee.
Oh, for no
CAL
fee.
FIRE.
Okay.
Yeah. But we can certainly bring back the burn permit fee question to the next meeting for discussion.
Jim, one thing occurred to me. I don't know if this is something that we should handle here, but several years back, I called the local Pine Grove Fire Station because someone was burning, and it was within the allowed period of the year where burning was allowed, but we hadn't had any rain, and you know, we were in the midst of the drought. And do we have oversight over when people can actually burn, and do we actually prohibit people from burning when there's extreme fire danger?
Well,
I just thought it was a bad idea that this guy was burning, and you know, it was, even though it was November, late November, sunny, hot, and dry, and
yeah,
the rain.
Yeah, and you know, that kind of gets to the line of differentiation between us at the Air District and our mission is air quality, whereas the fire agency mission is fire safety. So we really, you know, that's kind of where we come down. If it's an air quality issue, if there's a complaint that somebody, that smoke's coming into someone's house, we will certainly get involved. If it's fire safety, we don't so much get involved.
Is there any coordination? Because I just called the phone number and says, and see if it's a burn day, right?
Yeah.
So if they call you and you say it's a burn day, they just are of the impression, oh, everything's okay to burn, when it may actually be a threat. I don't know.
Yeah, we do. And to answer your question, yes, we do coordinate with the fire agencies quite a lot. As a matter of fact, we just had a call yesterday. So, you know, we do work with them on issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your my understanding, Jim, is that your enforcement touches on, if you declare it a non-burn day and you find out that somebody is in fact burning, those are the people you go knock on their door, right?
We do.
Right.
We do. When we are notified that somebody's burning on a non-permitted burn day, then
right.
we will take action and go visit the people and
right.
Determine, you know, what needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it's an allowed burn day, then, you know,
yeah.
the Air District really...
If it's allowed burn day, that means the state, California Air Resources Board, has determined it's the air quality is it's okay to burn.
Right, but it may not be safe.
That's
to
true.
Burn.
Yeah.
I think that was the point, is we don't want to burn the place down.
Right. Absolutely. No, I completely...
So, I don't yeah. know, do we do anything to make sure that people don't just call and realize, okay, it's a burn day, I can burn, when really it's not safe practice at that time?
Yeah, we can look at the information that we have on our message to see. Yeah, come on, please.
Steve, can
I help you with a little
good.
Thanks, Ron.
So the way it works is CAL FIRE sets burn days based upon burning conditions, so weather, humidity factors, and things like that. Air pollution sets it based upon air quality. So if it's a bad day air quality, they'll say you can't burn. If CAL FIRE says it's a bad day for burning, but it's good air quality, you can't burn. So both agencies can tell you if it's not burn day.
But if they call their phone number, will the recording reflect that?
Yes. So every day CAL FIRE notifies them if it's a burn day for fire season. So that they actually coordinate that. So you might, what happens is you might say, man, it's probably not a good day to burn. And unfortunately, in the fire service, we'd rather see people burn on days where it's bad air quality versus windy days,
mm-hmm.
right? Because on windy days, the fire could take off. But
right.
for air quality, you want windy days. So it's sort of a little battle there. But CAL FIRE does a real good job of tracking that. And they open and close the season based upon fire danger. So when the fire danger starts to go away, they'll open up burning. When the fire danger increases, they'll actually shut down fire season. So, and it's coordinated pretty well.
So there is coordination, so
yes.
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dominic.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
So we're still...
What was the authority to construct a relatively minor amount, but $3,912?
Yeah, that's the authority to construct, and that's if we get a new source, you know...
I know what it is, but that's all we're budgeting for it?
That's based upon what our actual year to date has come in. Yeah, that's what we budget.
So not a good sign for the economy.
Yeah, that's true. We're still in it, huh?
I hate complaining, but I'm going to complain a little bit. I find these charts kind of difficult.
Okay.
To go through with all the vendors and all the, I mean, I like this.
There you go.
Because it's a, you know, it's a general summary, but maybe that's just me. Okay, anything else on the budget?
Do you need action on this?
Do you need action?
Okay. I would like direction from the board to bring back for the public hearing at the June, what would the date be?
20th,
yeah.
Move to approve the draft budget for 17-18 and bring back on June 20th.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor of approving the budget to bring it back on June 20th, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. All right. Number three, the limited wood stove replacement program.
Yes. At the January 17th meeting, this program was approved in concept. With a budget of $50,000, staff was directed to bring back the final program design to this meeting, today's meeting. You have the memo outlines the information that we've included, which is the limited wood stove replacement program authorization form. That form kind of outlines the steps and requirements of the program. We also have a draft informational flyer that we would be using for outreach and advertising. There's also a tracking worksheet that'll be used for administrative staff here at the district. And then finally, there's a completion notice that we will use to complete the project and to be able to provide reimbursement. And I know we do have a few folks that here that would like to make some comment on the program. But at this point, I wanted to see if there were any questions regarding the program.
Does that include pellet stoves?
Yes, it does. At this point, we are keeping it open. Even though it says wood stove replacement, we do want to take a non-EPA certified wood stove out, but putting back in, we'll either put back in a EPA certified phase 3 wood stove or a pellet or a gas, whatever the customer.
Gas too then.
Yes.
Yeah. Following up on Bob's, how do you know the stove is not EPA certified? Do they have a little sticker or something on them?
From what I understand, there is a tag on the back, I believe, and our wood stove folks might be able to answer it much better than me, but I believe, well, and actually they could probably just look at it and tell you. Do you want to come up?
I think my wood stove says gross polluter on it. So I
thought that was a manufacturer.
Yeah.
Well, you should supply.
Stan Hampton from Sierra Hearth and Home. So any stove that was manufactured after 1984 is required to be EPA Phase 1. And it will have a label on it. Now, some of the older ones had labels, some of them didn't prior to that date. If they do have a label, it will say on it that it was approved. And what phase of the EPA testing was approved for. There was 84, 85 is when phase 1 came into effect, and then phase 2, I believe, was 5 years later. They set it all up at one time, but gave them 5 years to come into compliance with phase 2, and then just now we're in the last year we've come into phase 3. So the newest stoves are phase 3 approved, which is the particulate matter. The way they're the pre-EPA stoves, you know, the old Fishers and all the great stoves that were made prior to 84, put out 40 to 60 grams of emissions particulate matter per hour. The new ones are as low as 0.48 grams per hour. So, and they have to be under 4.2 to be EPA Phase 3 approved. So, and that's the reason we want to get rid of the old ones. It's, you know, from 40 to 60 grams per hour down to under 4.
It's a tenfold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other board questions?
I see that. Is this program running through December 31st or October?
Yeah, thank you for catching that. Apologize for that. Originally we had October, and I know that, and that is on the flyer, but we've changed it to December, so it will be reflected on the flyer.
Questions?
Yep, I got to ask a question. I guess it's not prohibited for a board member to apply, right? I don't know.
If you're a gross polluter, I'd encourage you to apply.
I'll go to county council and ask the question.
We'll think about it, Richard.
Any questions for the public? Time for public questions. Public comment, yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Spinett. I'm a fourth-generation farmer here in Amador County. And Richard, you'll be the second applicant. I'll be the first one here. I have my application already filled out. I'd like to speak for you to approve this program. I've been cutting firewood for several years, and I like it because this is a voluntary program. It's not compulsory. It's not mandatory. So whoever wants to cut firewood, I was just coming down Steiner Road, and a big four-foot oak tree fell across the road, so someone's going to get about 6 cords of firewood today. And it's nice that people have that flexibility to do that, but I don't want to have the spiders come in, the rattlesnakes, the bugs, all that good stuff, ashes, too hot, too cold. And it's also good to get forward as far as the environment. Think about the next generation. Think about our children and extending that legacy to our environment and to our people going forward. So I'd like to ask that you please approve this program. And I'd like to be the protocol person to kind of do something to show this program will work. I have a wood-burning stove now. I'd like to replace it with a pellet stove. I currently have another pellet stove in the back of my house, but I'd be more than happy to have another one in the house because it's a big house and I need to keep the house nice and warm. So I appreciate your consideration to approve this program. Thank you.
All right, Jim.
Anybody else from the public? Or Jim?
Stan and Shirley from Sierra Hearth and Home are here, and you met Stan just a second ago. He has been working with me on developing kind of, you know, some of the structure of this program, as well as the two other stores you see on the list, A&B Stoves in Pine Grove and Amador Stove and Spa Pioneer. So I've worked closely with the three shops, and again, we put a lot of effort into kind of coming up with this structure for the program. We're looking at this as a pilot project, something we want to, you know, roll out and see what kind of response we get. You know, once we have the opportunity, my hope is that it'll be successful. I think it will be, as we can then evaluate the program and evaluate the successes as well as the lessons learned, and then perhaps come back at a later date to the board of directors here to see if it's worth continuing.
Jim, I got a quick question.
Yes.
Would a homeowner be eligible for more than one stove replacement?
Right now,
what's that? In regards to his statement he just made.
Yeah, we have actually had that question come up already just in the development of this. And right now what we're seeing is because this is a limited kind of pilot project, we're going to be doing just one stove per residence, per family. So down the road, if it was something that we expanded and continued on, I think it would be appropriate to then reevaluate if the second stove was a good idea. So down the road.
I know you have a letter in our packet later asking for out-of-county suppliers to be included. And I got to tell you, I'm in favor of just keeping it in-county and supporting our local vendors.
Me also.
Me too.
And that was my initial response to that request. I did want to include it in the packet just because this individual was, you know, really determined to have not only myself but the board of directors see his request. And the initial response we gave him is that, no, that's not how this program is set up. We appreciate his interest in it and his, you know, willingness to want to participate, but that's just not the way we put this program together.
Right. Go ahead.
Could I get some clarification, Jim, on as far as what a non-EPA certified device is? Because does that mean like up to 2017 standards, or, you know, if there are different levels of EPA certification, right? Is that what you were saying earlier? That
yeah, he was referring to the phase one, phase two, and now we're at phase three. So at this point, what we would be, Stan, maybe I could ask you again.
Phase three are the only stoves that can be sold now, new.
Right.
And that came into effect, I believe it was June of 16.
So what I'm wondering is as far as how an applicant how their device would qualify to be replaced, which EPA phase would theirs have to be in?
Pre-EPA.
One and two.
Yeah. I believe we had it set up, or I think it should be pre-EPA. Those are the gross polluters.
So that's the 1984.
84 or 85, right. The phase one stoves were under 7 or 7.5 grams. So
much cleaner than the 40 to 60 grams of the non-EPA stove. So those are the ones that we really want to get rid of, is the pre-EPA, not the phase one and phase two stoves.
Yeah, and I think there's probably more than enough of those that floating around out there to eat up this money pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
I don't want to have somebody come in, if you're saying phase one, two, three, that has a phase two, and they want to upgrade to phase three. No.
No, our priority would be the older ones. So if there's any clarification we need to do, we'll look at that. Yeah.
Any other questions by the board?
Oh.
I already asked for public comment, so that's...
Yeah.
You want a motion?
Okay.
Move
yes.
to approve the smoke reduction bin program.
Or no, the wood stove, limited wood stove.
Oh, replacement. Sorry, limited wood stove replacement program.
Yes.
Second.
I'm not the chair, so I can get lost on the agenda.
I'd second that.
Okay.
Okay.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. That's right. And I would just ask again, somehow I thought we had already approved and this program was rolling, but we take a while to get things rolling, don't we?
Yeah.
So you don't have any idea. Well, I'd like to know at the next meeting what the sign-up has been.
Well, I can tell you already, you know, we haven't even rolled out the program.
Got one.
Well, we've got about 10, I think. we've got about 10 folks that have expressed interest in this program. So there is interest. But, yeah, you're right. At the last meeting, it was recommended that this program be brought back, fully developed, and that's what you have before you.
Exactly.
Now, I will tell you that we're the budget is for the fiscal year, so we really can't start it till July 1st.
Okay.
But sign-ups can start anytime.
Yeah, we can get things rolling.
So one other thing, Jim, is there's a letter here from Mr. Thorne talking about retroactive as far as fees. Are we going to talk about that down the road here?
And Richard mentioned that just a moment ago about the letter from the out-of-county individual. That's the letter.
That was for the supplier of the stoves, but I'm not sure about the fees retroactive as far as reimbursement.
And again, I would think not, because he's already gotten the stove,
right.
and it doesn't qualify for the terms of this program.
That way.
So if someone already replaced a 1985 stove with a level 2 stove, then they couldn't be reimbursed.
Yeah, we're going to hold it to the terms that we've established.
That's
for this
fine.
Program.
That's fine. Okay. All right.
No retro.
That's what we're doing in the tree mortality program also.
I think if it was retroactive reimbursement, we'd go through our 25 stoves right off the bat. Not even replace any.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on to item 4, smoke reduction bin program.
Yes, and at the last meeting, staff was directed to put this on the agenda for a discussion. And just real quickly, the program in its current form has been going on for the last two seasons. Runs from about April, May until October, November, approximately 7 months. And we've been budgeted now for $70,000 or approximately $10,000 per month. The program consists of bins placed in public non-attended areas, so two on Silver Drive, one on Taboo at Pine Acres. Bins placed in public attended areas, so Lockwood Fire, Sutter Creek Fire, and then bins placed in neighborhoods on private property where they are accessible to the immediate neighborhood and supervised by the property owner. Program has been well received, and we've received a tremendous number of positive comments from the public and from folks out there regarding
even noticing a reduction in smoke in some of these neighborhoods. We have had some problems. We've had evidence and reports of commercial landscapers using and maintenance companies using the bins that are unattended, both during the day and after hours at night. Occasionally there's trash and other materials dumped in there. And then a lot of times there's so much material dumped, it goes way over the top of the bins, and then that material ends up having to be pushed off and onto the ground so that the bin can even be serviced and taken out of there. Then we as staff have to go up and do some raking and cleaning and shoveling of the material. So there are a few of these problems that have occurred, and because of those, as well as the long-term sustainability of the budget, it was requested to bring this for discussion. I've outlined three options. First one is to continue the program as we've been operating it, but with the addition of some bigger, kind of larger, brightly colored signs that really drives home the point that this is not for commercial landscapers and maintenance companies. And that would be funded at the previous amount, $70,000. Second option is reduce the program by removing one of the two bins on Silver Drive and removing the bin on Taboo and Pine Acres, and continue the other locations. I'm estimating that would be about $50,000. Third option is reduce the program to just neighborhood bins only in specific areas that have smoke impacts due to outdoor burning, and I'm estimating that would bring the budget down to about $30,000. My recommendation is that because of the budget I've constructed, we're not drawing from reserves for this program. We're using the revenue that we have coming in to fund this program, and we can fund it at $70,000. Therefore, I'm at this point recommending option one. However, I would like direction from the board on it.
Well, not a surprise for me is that I'd actually like to see more money taken from reserve for this program. It's, as you know, it's extremely popular, certainly in my district. I don't mean to be completely self-serving here, but we have lots of use of those bins, and usually ours is the one that that my neighbors pile it up too high, so it falls off the end. But and I'm sorry, but I need to go back a little bit to the budget, $518,000 in reserves. And what level would you like to see those reserves?
Well, and that's something that, you know, I was going to bring back to a future meeting so we could, I could get direction from the board as to what the board considers a prudent reserve. I'm estimating somewhere in the $150,000-$200,000 range is a reasonable reserve to maintain. So,
especially because your income pretty well keeps up with your expenses.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that would be probably a starting point for me. But again, I would bring that back as an agenda item for the board of directors to then discuss and provide direction on, you know, what. What is that right amount of reserve?
I'd like to hear some other board.
Yeah, we're pulling a fair bit of money out of reserves for our community special projects. And something I would look at, too, is I think we're better off if we have a program that's somewhat sustainable. So if we all of a sudden start jumping up our expenses really big time, people are going to get used to that. Say, oh, wow. And then when you start saying, hey, we're going to reduce that, you're going to have a fight on your hands. That's something to consider.
I have a big issue with the commercial landscapers and yard maintenance companies utilizing this. That is just plain wrong, and we shouldn't be financing commercial businesses out there to dump their waste for free. So unless we can monitor those bins that have been put in those areas to restrict that, I would even go for something like I saw ACES advertise the smaller bins that they'll bring right to your property. So maybe you could have groups of neighbors working off the smaller bins where they're placed. Either you place a big bin at one property where it's secure, or you bring in those smaller dumpster type of bins, which would be easy to transport, and you could have a group of maybe four or five neighbors that would fill it up, and then just call ACES to move it out when it's ready.
And that is kind of how our neighborhood program works. We actually have a sheet that we give to the resident, the property owner that hosts it, that outlines their responsibility. And we've been very successful in having the folks that host a bin, they let their whole neighborhood know, and they keep an eye on it. And yeah, there isn't the problems associated with dumping.
Well, then I'd probably want to see those bins placed in non-attended areas to not be placed there, and figure out some other way to put them in on private property or in private areas and neighborhoods where there would be less of a temptation for commercial to utilize and for people dumping their household waste into.
Also, any signs that are posted on the container, would they be stating anything that would involve a fine for that, you know?
Is it the non-attended ones that are the biggest?
The non-attended ones are the only ones, really, that, we have Dominic here from Sutter Creek, and they do a great job of managing their bin and keep a close eye on it, so.
How is the bin at Lockwood Fire Station, or bins? Do we know how well? I mean,
that one seems to be, I think, handled pretty well. Yeah, I think that one goes.
The fire stations do a good job.
Right.
Fire stations do,
because they've got staff there. Yeah.
Jim, where does all the waste go?
The green waste.
Yeah, what's it?
It goes to Vicini Brothers Green Waste Facility.
That out of the county?
No, it's in the county. It's on Willow Creek Road, Merv and Kathy Vicini.
That's where everything from ACES goes to?
Right now, yes.
What happens to it there? Does it get ground up?
Ground up, composted, and turned into different commodities, different materials.
Different, like soil amendments and stuff?
Absolutely. Compost, soil amendments.
They sell that?
They sell that,
do something
yeah.
useful with it?
Yes. Yeah.
Vervicini hates pine needles, by the way.
Yes, he does, with a purple bag.
Exactly.
That's basically all we're delivering in those bins.
Are any of the bins underutilized, from your understanding? I mean, from what you... Are all of them getting pretty good usage?
We've got this program down where they all are very well utilized.
So there's no reason to cut any of them back, is there?
They're fully utilized, the bins we have.
And just, you know, because commercial people are dumping, could commercial people take it to the final source and hand it over to them rather than clogging our bins?
They'll have to pay for it, for disposal. Yeah, so that's the reason why they're...
As they should.
So yeah. We actually pay a fee to the end?
Yes, we do. That's where the $70,000 budget comes from.
Okay.
So we pay ACES, too.
Yes, we do, because ACES has to pay Vicini's. So,
right.
Yeah, we pay that fee through ACES.
Yeah, but ACES also charges for...
For the hauling.
Yeah.
For the hauling, yeah.
Is there any way they can expand this to help people get rid of bark beetle trees, you know, somehow to take that wood away and turn it into a soil amendment?
The trees, the dead dead trees. Well, yeah,
take them down. But if they have logs or rounds to get rid of,
we had discussed that previously at the Air District in the last year, and the kind of the consensus was that tree mortality issue was a much bigger problem than what we were able to really contribute to. So our focus was, you know, to do this pine needle bin because the Air District's ability to really solve that problem, it's way beyond our scope.
Is there a need to handle and just pine needles and.
Well, and we do take brush. We take all that material. And I apologize, Frank. We do refer to it as pine needle bins, but people can put tree limbs and branches and brush, and they can put their lawn clippings. They can put all that material in there.
Anything they put in those bins, you put on the street, right? Of yard waste.
Yeah, we take that yard waste. Aces picks it up and takes it to the Ficini brothers.
Just not logs.
What's that?
Just not logs.
Yeah, not logs. Yeah.
Jim.
Trying to help get rid of them.
Yeah.
Jim, is there a fine if we catch these commercial people using the bins?
I'll have to check. I haven't checked, but it would be unauthorized dumping. So I would think there might be something in the code.
That'd probably be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe just the use of game cameras would be a benefit if we can enforce it, and it's going to cost them some money if they get caught.
Well, and that would be something to include on the sign posting.
We actually had the game camera discussion, and I actually think it's, you know, probably a pretty effective way. The problem is, you know, the time reviewing. What are we going to do? Review every day, 24 hours a day. How do we know? Because we don't know necessarily when they're dumping there. You know. They do it in the middle of the night, and then, you know, the resident, Mrs. Johnson from down the road, has her stuff put on, so we don't even know they dumped there. We just, we know that it's happening. So in the absence of knowing exactly when someone does it, to then go review a game camera, we would have to be reviewing 24 hours a day footage. That would be a problem.
You know, one question I'd have too is, I know we tried it before, but I think a couple areas in my district, like River Pines and Fiddletown, I thought if I could find a spot where somebody could watch it, it'd probably be nice if you have a bin there once or twice, something like that. Probably especially River Pines, but I don't know how you'd, unless you have where people can watch it, you probably will get a lot of garbage if you do, wherever you do bins.
Yeah, and that has been an issue, but you're right. If, you know, like I said, the folks that we talk to about the neighborhood program, and we get them, we actually have them, you know, agree to the terms of this thing, and we're very successful with that.
So, Brian, maybe if you identify some people that in those areas that...
Yeah, I'll probably look at it. It's like...
Yeah.
River Pines is probably really limited. There's probably a few areas you could put it.
Yeah. Well, as you know, hearing from Jennifer, we love it. We'd like to have it more often. I mean, for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you asked for our 2 cents. My feeling is, A, on your list, having them in unsecured areas to me is not a good option. If we can find other secured areas, I don't mind keeping the same level of bins out there.
Exactly.
I had one other question. Are these landscapers, basically that are using these illegally, are they licensed? You have to have a business license in the county. Is there some way we can track them?
No business license in the county.
Well, Jim, is that the only... Is Taboo Road the only place in Pine Grove? I'm not sure where Silver Drive is.
It's in Pioneer.
A little higher. Yeah, Silver's a little higher. Taboo's the one location... that we've had in the Pine Grove area. Yeah.
That gets abused by these. Well,
yeah, Matt, would you say Silver's the worst? Probably.
It gets a lot. Also appreciated the most.
Yeah.
So when you pull that one, you're gonna get back.
You know, if you want people to use them, having proximity is, I think, is important. You know, if you want them to use it, if they have to load it up in their truck and take it long distance, I don't know if they're as likely to use that or just kind of, you know, throw it in the ditch somewhere.
Yeah.
Burn it, which I think is something you're trying to avoid, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how big a problem is it, basically, them dumping landscape material? Is it a huge issue or just minor?
Well, that's a good question. Like I said, because it's difficult for us to know exactly, but we have had, direct feedback from people in the neighborhoods who go out for a walk on a Saturday evening, and they see a truck pull up that they know, you know, that guy's a landscaper and he's in his personal vehicle. So we do hear about it. And as far as the extent of the program, I think the signage could, you know, especially if we were to look at maybe having some pretty stern language on, you know, the fine or whatever it is, the code section, you know, I think that could possibly help with the program. So
I would recommend that. I mean, I think the board would, yeah.
Worth a try.
I think I could probably do that, especially what I think was Matt was saying about people in Silver Drive really like it.
Okay. Anything else? You
know? I think we have. Okay, go ahead.
I personally would. My vote would be. I think the benefit of this, as far as their quality, is much greater than the $70,000 we're spending on it, and the impact that we have from commercial landscapers and that, I think, is not great enough to stop the whole project. So I would. My preference would be option one.
Is that a motion?
Could we hear from public?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. Public, please. Please comment.
Hold that thought, John.
I'm Mike Marino, Cedar Creek Fire. This program, we started last year. It's a great program. The citizens are already knocking on the door almost every day asking when the bin's going to show up. It does take more than just pine needles, neighborhoods. One thing we've noticed in Amador County, our population is getting older. And as they're getting older, they're less inclined to go burn on their own properties. So these bins actually fill a gap between when people used to burn to where they're not comfortable burning. Now they come down and use the bins. They'll come down there with their cars, with stuff in the back seats of the cars and everything else. So when we're there, we try to assist them with it. We keep it clean. We actually at Sutter Creek have a compact we made up out of a piece of culvert pipe, a pallet, and a truck where we actually compact that so we can get a lot more into the bin and stuff like that. So it is a good project going forward. So, you know, I think it's something that's something where the citizens actually see their tax dollars at work and coming back into their communities.
I got one question. If you got a compactor, why is it that it looks like Shake Ridge and some of the other ones are beating you as far as in Silver Drive? They're beating you as far as I'm out putting those dumpsters.
Well, ours, because ours gets hauled less often because we constantly compact it. That's why. So we could actually sometimes use three bins a week, but we actually compact it to where we only need one bin a week. We actually had one of the guy who dumped it says one day he could hardly get the stuff out of us, so packed in there.
Oh, I bet.
Plus yours is for business hours, and those other ones are getting.
Yeah, so most of ours gets during the day that people are coming in there.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else from the public? Or Jim, did you have something?
I didn't have anything else, though.
Any other public comments? No?
Don, you going to make a motion down there?
Yeah, I'll move option one.
I'll second that.
Okay.
So what is the exact motion to?
Okay, the exact motion, which I now don't have in front of me, is to...
But we were going to include some signage?
Yes.
Radio.
It's on there. It's to continue the programs that is operated with the addition of new... larger, brightly colored signs discouraging use by commercial landscapers and maintenance companies.
That's my motion.
to the tune of $70,000.
Put a hangman's noose on it.
I'm sorry, I don't think that's good enough, because I don't think we're being good enough stewards of the taxpayers' money by putting signs up that they're going to ignore anyway.
Well, we can see how it goes, because the I think value in the program, I would like to make sure it's available for others, and if it doesn't get the help in rectifying the problem, then we can always eliminate those in the future.
Well,
as per your recommendation.
You can see people in front of any bar in Amador County that sit within 2 feet of the door smoking when it clearly says no smoking within 20 feet of the door. So I don't think they're going to abide by these signs either.
Well, and Jim, I would, I expect that you'll report back to us about, you know, the issues and so on as you go forward.
Yeah, and
motion passes.
I just wanted to mention, you know, in my solid waste side of my job, I've had issues with illegal dumping, in particular when I do tire collection events. And a lot of times the day after I do a tire collection event, a couple hundred tires appear out of nowhere dumped. And so what I've done is gone to big signs, brightly colored large signs, that actually say area under surveillance.
Oh,
and so by, and I found that by using that terminology, it's pretty much eliminated the program.
Right.
Now, surveillance.
Eliminate the program or problem?
The problem.
Problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the problem of dumping by stating on the sign clearly that this area is under surveillance. So then the question becomes, what is surveillance? Well, I drive by and
right.
take a look. That's right. Surveillance. So.
Just don't say aerial surveillance. That
yeah.
would be a lie. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like it better if you put signs that said illegal dumpers will be shot. So something like that.
But like Rich, I'm skeptical about the progress we're going to make with the signs. But out of the three choices, I think number one's probably the best option. So.
And I would like you, and I know you will, Jim, to report back to us if there is more. For example, if Director Onetto, you know, locates some areas and some people to put more bins up, we may eventually need to increase the money in the program. So
I don't know if I'm saying increase the money. I'm saying just scoot over
the
bins
around.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to support this because I still think that the bins placed in areas that are not secure or not in areas that are more of a that are put in areas that are more of a public attraction to them for misuse will be continued no matter what kind of signage you have. I think there's better options.
And Supervisor Forster, maybe what we could do is
Director Forster.
Director Forster, that's right. Maybe what we could do is make an additional effort in the neighborhoods to see if we can recruit some folks in the immediate vicinity of these unattended bins to see if we could get some additional kind of supervision.
I'll vote for it if you or Matt will camp out up there in tents.
No, that's not fair. And actually, I'm hearing that it's not a huge, huge problem, that it is an issue, that you've noticed that it is a problem in some areas. But I'll tell you, Director Forrester, in my neighborhood, we have one woman whose job it is. In fact, she knows I'm at the Air Board today. You know, she is very diligent.
I don't know where you heard that, because on the where it says problems, it says on a regular basis, district staff finds a mess near the bins. So you find a mess, you find commercial products, grass and things put in there, as well as household waste. So I'm not going to beat a dead horse.
Okay.
Starting to sound like Brian now.
Okay.
At our first meeting today.
Well, at this point, we have a motion and a second on the floor, and I will ask for those in favor to please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. City County Agency Diesel, CCAD program.
Yes, our CCAD program. And attached is a summary of the projects we've completed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, for a grand total of $97,122.15. We've been successful with this program. Originally, the program was budgeted for $169,000. Currently, there's one more project in progress, and that's the ARSA project for $25,000. We have interest in second projects from two agencies, and they're listed on the sheet. If all the projects were completed as listed on the sheet, it would exceed the budget by $3,122.15. So what I'm requesting at this point is authorization to complete the additional projects, including the second projects, for a not-to-exceed amount of $169,000, which is what we budgeted for the total program.
Okay. Board questions, discussion?
Jim, you said ARSA. Did you mean AWA?
ARSA is...
in progress.
Is in progress.
Okay.
And then down at the bottom is AWA for a second.
Because they're both 25K, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. The three on the bottom are all listed at 25,000. The one in progress, and then the two additional ones.
All right, I see. All right, and the asphalt zipper.
That's the Public Works second project that they have an interest in.
That
asphalt zipper is a machine that they use to, take up. Roadway,
okay.
And then repave.
And
one of those mini grinders, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of scoops it up and throws
yep.
it into the
yeah.
back, conveys it.
Yeah.
Jim, this project, I see all these are public agencies. Was this available also to the private sector?
No, this project was initially approved just for the public agencies, and hence we named it the City County Agency Diesel Program, CCAT.
I recall you reached out to all the cities and agencies too, didn't you?
We did. We did. Yeah.
Any other board questions?
Jim, this isn't for replacement. It's for replacement or new equipment.
This is replacement. What we're looking to do, kind of like the wood stove, we're looking to take an old engine that does not meet current standards and replace it, or provide another engine could be of a different type. But we're looking, primarily we're looking to get something an older engine out of service and get the new one in service.
So you or Matt verify that the old engine is being replaced and then what, being destroyed?
Yes, we do. We do.
And that it's not sold to some other person for use?
That's right. We do not want an old non-compliant engine to be reused somewhere else in the county.
Can it go out of state?
Yes, probably that's the only place it could go. These things can't legally operate in the state. Yeah. We do have someone that would like to speak to this issue when you get to that.
Okay. Any other questions by the board? Well, then it's public comment time.
Good afternoon. Damon Wyckoff, Amador Water Agency. First off, I would like to thank you, the Air District Board of Directors and staff, for this program, for allowing this program to occur last year. We were able to take advantage of the $25,000 grant and purchase a 102-kilowatt Doosan generator, which replaced two of our trailer-mounted generators, which were non-compliant with the Air District. We were able to take the wheels off those and put those at stationary locations. the 102 kW provided a great benefit. We can use it at lift stations, water treatment pumping stations, well sites, pretty much wherever we need it. Recently, although unfortunately not during the initial storms of January, we lost an older 80 kW generator that the cost to repair is just doesn't make sense. It would make more sense to just purchase a new Tier 4, more air district compliant, if you will, generator. So the agency is here before you with that request. It would allow us to take another trailer-mounted generator that's getting to the point of being non-compliant. It's a 2002 off the road, and allow us to replace that with a brand new higher-level air-compliant generator.
So just for my own understanding, Damon, I thought I heard you say you took the ones that were non-compliant and took the wheels off so they're in a stationary place and that makes them compliant?
That's correct.
You're still using them, though?
They are at pump stations. So they're used as needed. So if the power fails, there's an automatic transfer switch that we installed that will kick that generator on.
They're probably used quite a bit less than when it's trailer mounted.
That's right. So this year we've got at least 150 hours on the brand new one, which we purchased, I want to say, in June of 2016. We had to rehabilitate a well, which means we had to take it off the grid and just constantly cycle test and pump it and chlorinate it. And we used the generator to run it at that point in time. And then we had issues with the automatic transfer switch during the storms where it wouldn't automatically transfer PG&E power when it failed to emergency power or generator power. So we just turned the generator on and ran the site out in Comanche on generator through the duration of the storm, which provided much more water system reliability, essentially.
Other questions for Damon?
Thank you, guys. It's a great program.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jim, you fund all of this with the fees that you're collecting?
That's right. Yeah. Whoops. Gosh darn it. I'm sorry about that. Hang on a sec. Let me back up and answer that question. No, the wood stove and the CCAD program is funded from drawing from reserves. That's where the funding comes from. So, again, if you notice on our budget, there's $85,000 drawing from reserves and there's $85,000 in special projects. This program falls within special projects. So I just wanted to be clear.
The previous project, the one with the pine needle bins, is
funded. That is funded with the fees.
But Jim, I'm a little confused here. So when we provide a new generator to Amador Water Agency, mm-hmm. those old ones are not destroyed?
Those ones are converted to... I think in some cases emergency backup or low use standby, so they can qualify to be used under a different category if they, you know, there's requirements, taking the wheels off, making them stationary so that you can't take them out and drive them all over. So yes, they can be used, but they're categorized differently. That complies with
and
the law.
And they're categorized by state regulations?
By state regulations.
Other questions?
Do you have a question, Damon? Did you want to come up and...
Other comment? Just from our perspective, if the stationary generators come out of compliance, because... You know, Matt and I go around annually to inspect those generators, and if they go out of compliance, then I think, you know, I would be before you to discuss, you know, the opportunities to receive some grant funds to help replace those. I mean, we're proactively looking to replace those as they come out of compliance, because the last thing we would need is to not be able to operate a generator, whether stationary or trailer mounted, in an emergency due to air quality compliance issues. So we want to stay ahead of the game. So if at any point the stationaries do come up against this wall of compliance, I mean, I think it's, we would be before you with that request also.
When they do.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Thank you. Okay, we've had public comment. We've had board comment. I will entertain a motion.
Move to authorize the APCO to complete the second projects as listed on the attached sheet at a not-to-exceed amount of $169,000 as budgeted for the total program.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. APCO's update.
Yeah, and I can move through this real quickly. And so the first thing I have on APCO's update is electric vehicle charging station. You heard from the gentleman earlier today, our ag commissioner. We've also had other inquiries about other electrical vehicle charging stations beyond, I think, the three we currently have in the county, Amador Transit Center, the Transportation Center, and then down here at City Hall, below City Hall in Jackson, and across the highway near Mel's in that parking lot. There has been a request for additional locations. So I wanted to extend the offer. If there's interest from the board of directors, I could bring this back to the next meeting as an agenda item to look at what this type of program might entail.
You know, a question I'd have. I meant to stop and look, and I just haven't. Do you know those electric charging stations? Do they charge people for electricity?
Not up at the transportation center, but yes, down here. So the ACTC, I believe it is, pays the electricity bill up there. But down here, folks are required to use, I think, an app on their smartphone to pay.
Thanks.
Jim, in the three that you mentioned, there's others. I know Taste Restaurant in Plymouth has a station.
Okay.
Are there other private stations that you know of?
We'll have to take a look at that.
I would like you, and unless some of the board objects, I'd like you to bring back, a broader analysis of where they are located in our county, even private ones.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with a recommendation maybe, or at least an analysis of where we might put, one or two more, and what the cost would be for that?
Yep, we can do that.
Jim, are these charging stations, do they have universal plugs for whatever model wants to use them, or how does that work? I'm a little ignorant on the subject here.
I'm going to call on Matt to answer this.
Hello, Matt Peterson. For the most part, I believe most of the cars are universal, but you do have Tesla, and I believe the owners have their own coupler there, so they can connect to most anything.
Well, several years ago, we never believed we'd be having this conversation. At least I didn't, but yes, it's becoming popular. Okay, other questions of Jim?
I was going to tell a brief, funny story. at the ACTC station up there, we had the problem with people parking their cars and commuting to work and leaving them hooked up all day long. And we were trying to address that problem. I said, well, if that's a possibility, I'm going to find me a car, electric car, and take it over there and charge it all day, and then take it home and run my house off of the electric car.
So, boy, John.
That was a bit of a problem we had over there by not charging.
All right, very good. Meeting schedule revised?
Yeah, and you have that in there, and basically you see the strikeouts where we had to change this meeting to today, and then we'll strike out the May meeting, and we'll proceed with the June meeting for the public hearing on the proposed budget. And if that's okay, we'll go ahead and leave that the way it is.
Everybody okay with that?
And then just wanted to mention the Fechter & Company audit
for the Air District has just been completed, and that'll be brought back in June for a presentation from the folks from FECTR, and then we'll have an audit for approval. And the financials are included, and those are the usual financials as of, I believe it's April 12th. So you have that. And then the last thing we have is correspondence. And you see a letter that was sent to me regarding burning and getting information out on the radio station. You also see a letter that was sent out to the cities regarding participation by all of our members. And then you see the article that was sent to the Ledger Dispatch on the Amador Air District that ran in, I think it was in February. And then as we talked about the wood stove email.
Did you, Jim, did you get a response to the May 10th letter to the cities?
Did not get a response, but...
That look, it's better attendance.
Yeah, but we have reached out and we've talked to...
That's
yeah.
The best kind of response.
There you go.
No need to respond to the letter, just come.
Yeah.
Well, I've responded to you.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
So we'll bring back the electric vehicle next time and the audit and then any other items that we discussed.
Sounds good. So we are through our agenda, so I will consider the meeting adjourned. Thank you. Oh, gosh.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I overdid it. Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
And Matt.